Thank you, Luke, sorry, for reading the Bible for us. Yes. Okay, so today, as Luke just read the scripture for us, we are going to study Mark chapter 12 and learn how brilliant, awesome, and amazing our Lord Jesus is. So please open your Bible and we'll go through it. And before we study God's words, let us ask our living God for his help to understand it and also transform by it. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can gather here in this beautiful church to study your words. As we are studying your words, help us by your Holy Spirit to understand it, and also help us to receive it with faith and love so that we can be changed by it and also can be encouraged by it and transformed closer to the image of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Hello. Oh, thank you. Sorry for waiting. Yes. Okay. So when I was at Bible college, I was one of those students who asked lots of questions to the lecturer because I was wondering about so many things. So I tended to raise my hand quite often and ask so many questions. And sometimes the lecturers tended to answer my questions straight away without any comments. But at other times, the lecturer said, "That's a good question." And that's the time that I felt really good, because I received a positive comment. However, in today's passage, different to me, we can see a teacher of the law receive a positive comment not because he asked a good question, but because he had understood the teaching of Jesus. So when the teacher was on the same page with Jesus regarding the law, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom." As it says in verse 34, when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Notice that in verses 28 to 34, the teacher of the law is different to other religious leaders who were hostile towards Jesus, because he was not trying to snare or trap Jesus with his questions, but he genuinely and sincerely and faithfully wanted to know the truth about the law. So in hoping that Jesus can give him a satisfactory answer, he asks a question in verse 28, saying, "Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important one?" And please notice that this is a debatable question among the teachers of the law, because there were around 600 laws from the Old Testament and their traditions that they were ought to keep. So it was very hard for them to choose just one most important law out of 600. However, of course, it was not difficult for Jesus to answer this question. So once again, as Jesus normally does, he answered the question brilliantly by quoting from the scripture, as Jesus says in verse 30, saying, "The most important one is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And notice that Jesus did not give them a new answer, but rather he quoted the words from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 17 to confirm the foundation of the law is love. He's saying without love, keeping the law is meaningless, because the primary reason that God gave the law to his people is to help them and guide them to love him with all their hearts and love their neighbor as they love themselves. And we can see that the teacher was very, very happy with Jesus' answer in verse 32. He was inspired. He was satisfied. And he was enlightened to know the truth about the law that he was struggling for a long time. He was absolutely on the same page as Jesus. However, please notice that although the man clearly understood the teaching of Jesus and agreed with it, Jesus did not say to him, "You will be in the kingdom." But he rather said, "You are not far from the kingdom," in verse 34. This is because Jesus knew that knowing the truth of the law is not enough. In order to be assured to be in the kingdom, the teacher has to go to the next step, which means he has to believe, trust, and have faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. However, please be aware that Jesus says to him, he's not far from the kingdom of God in a positive way. Because Jesus knew that knowing the truth will help him to realize that he needs a Savior who can live a perfect righteous life on his behalf. Jesus knew that the truth will lead him to have faith in him. And this applies to us as we seek the truth about the law, righteousness, salvation, forgiveness from the Scripture. We will know the truth. And that's the time we are not far from the kingdom. But as we go to the next step, which is having faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, immediately, straight away, know that we will be assured to be in his kingdom, where there is an abundance of joy, pleasure, beauty, goodness, harmony, and perfection forever. When I'm doing ministries for primary and high school students, they tend to ask me lots of challenging questions, such as, why is the sky blue? Or, why do I have to go to school? I think Mike can empathize with me. And why do I have to eat green veggies? And so on. And whenever I have these kind of questions, I tend to go to the internet and Google them to get some good answers. And I'm telling you, it works. But sometimes they also ask me some spiritual questions, such as, is God real? What is sin? And where is heaven? And why there is injustice in this world. And whenever they ask these kind of questions, I always go to the Bible. Yes, yes, you all know that. And I quote from the Scripture to answer their questions. For sin and salvation, I normally quote it from the book of Romans. For injustice, I quote from the book of Psalms. And for love and eternal life, I normally quote from the John's Gospel. And I can see sometimes the kids understand and agree with what the Scripture says about those things. And that's the time I'm absolutely convinced that they are on the right track. They are not far from the kingdom of God, because the truth will make them to realize that they need a Savior. And I'm more than confident that one day they will be assured to be in the kingdom of God as they grow in the knowledge of Jesus being their Savior and Lord. And this applies to the teacher of the law in today's passage. As he believes, trusts, and has faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and Jesus would have said to him, "You will be with me in kingdom forever." But please notice that different to the teacher of the law in verses 28 to 34, the religious leaders in verse 12 are very far from the kingdom of God. This is because they were spiritually very stubborn, so they refused to believe and have faith in him. In fact, in verses 1 to 11, when Jesus said to them in the parable that they are rejecting the Son of God, they did not repent nor reconsider their belief regarding Jesus, but instead they decided to find a way to arrest him. As it says in verse 12, saying, then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. Notice that the religious leaders did not arrest Jesus immediately, but they left Jesus and went away. And they did this not because they were fearing God or because they respected Jesus, but simply because they were afraid of the crowd who were in support of Jesus. So the religious leaders came up with a different way to arrest him in verses 13 to 17. They decided to ask Jesus some difficult questions publicly so that they could trap him and then accuse him for false teachings. So in the hope that they could ensnare Jesus, they ask him a question regarding tax, which is very expectable, in verse 14, saying, is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And here I believe the religious leaders put lots of effort and thought into this question. Because if Jesus says yes, the religious leader will stir the crowd to turn against him, because most of the Jews hated paying tax to the Rome. And if Jesus says no, that means the religious leaders will report Jesus to Rome for treason. So I'm pretty sure the religious leaders would have thought that finally Jesus is trapped. Because whether Jesus says yes or no, it doesn't matter. Either way, they can definitely accuse him. However, unlike their expectations, they utterly failed to trap and snare him, as Jesus brilliantly answers their question in verse 17, saying, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. Here Jesus is not denying paying the tax, and he is not denying serving God. He's saying, as they are having protection and service from the government, they have an obligation to support the government by paying their taxes. But equally, since God created everything and we are enjoying everything that belongs to him, we owe him everything. Therefore, we have an obligation to live a life for God in every aspect of our life. And this is indeed a brilliant answer, because there is nothing that the religious leaders can use against Jesus. And we can see the same pattern in verses 18 to 29, when the religious leaders tried to trap Jesus by asking him about the resurrection. Once again, Jesus completely silenced them with his wisdom and authority. This shows that there was no way that the religious leaders could find a way to accuse him, because Jesus was absolutely out of their league. They were no match for him at all. And this is what Mark, the author of this book, is trying to tell us this evening, that how commanding, how masterful, and how brilliant Jesus is. How he's always in control, and how he demonstrates that he is the promised one. So in showing who Jesus is, his commanding presence, authority, insight, knowledge, wisdom, and truth, Mark wants us to know how secure we are in Christ. And he also wants us to know that we are following, obeying, and trusting the right person whom we can completely depend on for our life and salvation. And at the same time, given who Jesus is, Mark is also highlighting the foolishness of the religious leaders who deny, reject, and refuse Jesus. Mark is trying to tell us it was nonsense, irrational, and unreasonable for them to not believe in him because they had seen and they had experienced how amazing, awesome, brilliant our Lord Jesus was. So Mark wants us to encourage us to not follow the example of the religious leaders, but to continually obey, trust, and follow our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in knowing that he is always in control. One day when I'm teaching my scripture class, I came up with a game called Captain's Coming. Do you know this game? Yeah, thank you for some of you who know this game. Yeah, the game is very simple. The kids had to obey and follow me because I was wearing the captain's hat. So if I say scrap the deck, they have to pretend scrap the deck and climb the rope and freeze. That means they have to freeze. And if I said to them, like the captain's coming, they all had to stand tall and salute by saying, aye, aye, captain. Yes. So the class really enjoyed playing this game. And then I said to them, now who wants to be the next captain by wearing this captain's hat? And I'm telling you, lots of kids wanted to wear that hat. And I end up choosing one of the boys. And that was a time that I also had to obey and follow him because he was wearing the captain's hat. However, unlike this game, we obey, we trust, and we follow our Lord Jesus Christ, not because he's wearing the captain's hat, but because of who he is. And this is what Mark is telling us this evening. He's showing us how commanding, brilliant, masterful our Lord Jesus is, that in him we can absolutely rely on for our life and salvation because he is filled with wisdom and authority. So today, please be encouraged because of who Jesus is and continue to follow him, obey him, and trust him in knowing that in him you and I are absolutely secure. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for his authority, insight, knowledge, wisdom, and truth. And we give you thanks that in him we are absolutely secure. So Father, help us to continually have faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and obey his teachings in our daily life. In his name we pray, Amen.